Hello, and welcome to Christ Fellowship of Elizabeth. We're so happy that you decided to join us today. This is the teaching podcast from our Sunday worship service, recorded at the Liberty Center in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Our goal as a church is to love God, make disciples, and change the world. We hope that this message inspires you and helps to lead you deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Enjoy.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Elliot, and we're going to get into the Word today. We are continuing with our series on the Sermon on the Mount. So if you've been paying attention to this series, you know we have gone through Matthew chapter 5 in the New Testament, and we started with the Beatitudes, statements about being blessed and a blessing. We went through all of them, and then we came to this next part where Jesus is going to be teaching the principles and the nature of God's law and how to live it out in real life. So we've talked about a lot of different things. Jesus would quote from the Old Testament saying, hey, you heard it said, do not murder, but I'm saying to you, don't even be angry. Don't let rage fester in you because that's a path to destruction. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Don't cheat on your spouse. But if you're lusting after other people, you're already in that state of mind. So be careful. We've talked about so many different things that have been applicable in our lives. And now we're going to talk about something that we do every single day, probably multiple times a day. However, what Jesus is going to challenge us with is for us to understand the full weight and the full gravity of this thing that we do almost every day, multiple times a day. This thing that we've done multiple times a day, that we do a lot, this is big. These are big things that have been a part of this. These are also very small things that we kind of hold everything together in our lives, little things that here and here and here put it all together. And what we're talking about today is making a promise. How many of you have made a promise in your life at one point? Yeah, everybody here, right? A promise. Now, we're going to use a specific word here, and we're going to use a word that I like. I think this word has a lot of gravity to it, and the word is oath. Everyone say oath. Right, an oath. So what is an oath? So the word oath, now that sounds like a big deal because it is. So an oath, if you look at similar words, an oath is a promise, a vow, a pledge, a commitment, an agreement. And one of the ways that we all have seen this, and some of us have directly experienced this, some of us have witnessed it, is why I brought this wonderful big old book right here. This is one of my favorite things that we have in our house. Now, this thing right here, as you can see, it's a nice leather-bound book right here, nice binding on it. This is our wedding album. My wife, Kalina, and I, we got married. I'm taking you back right here to June 16th, 2012. And we have some pictures I'm going to show real quick, some little things up in here, some pictures on the screen. We can get that crowd shot. There we go. Some of you at attendance today were there. That's right. Some of you guys were there. Got a few more, as we can see. Got a couple more pictures. Oh, look at them. So happy. Look at them. Look at that. You're so beautiful, my love. So gorgeous. So beautiful. Or as my wife likes to say, look at us. So young and rested before having kids. We got one more here. There we go. Oh, beautiful. The dance. Wonderful. Oh, just touches my heart. And then it's funny having kids and then having them look at this. You know, they'll ask questions like, well, how come we weren't invited? Because you didn't exist yet. That's why you weren't there. Oh. But it's okay. It's okay. And we go through, we take a look at some things. And I'll tell you one thing. Looking at some of the pictures, I mean, it is a blast from the past sometimes. Because it's a snapshot. It's a picture of your life at that moment. So all the married folks in here, well, you know, married folks, wave your hands real quick in pride. All the married folks in here, that's right. All the married people out here. I'm not going to ask you how many years because we don't want to do the math on you. But it's okay, though. You know, the married people here. But it's so interesting because when you go to a wedding, what you're seeing is something so fascinating if you really start to break it down. You are seeing individual one, individual two, making an oath. They're making a vow, a commitment, an agreement, a pledge. They're going to say things to each other in front of God and in front of all these people gathered here. They're going to say these things to each other, and they're going to make these oaths and vows that are lifelong till one of them dies. That's what's been happening there. But here's what's interesting about these oaths, is that it's something that's said in that very moment right there. Do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. Woo! Congratulations. Hey! It's great. But, as we all know, as adults here, we know that that is a moment in that couple's life. And as our brother Eddie talked about last week, that moment, as great as it is, doesn't always last forever. Doesn't always last lifelong. Now, what's the deal with that? What is actually happening? And what does Jesus say about oaths, vows, promises, commitments, agreements? Let's find out. So let's check this out. We are in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 33. And again, Jesus is going to say, hey, you've heard it said this. I'm going to say some more about it. Here's how we live it out. He says, again, you have heard it said, it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, by the earth, for it is God's footstool, Jesus is quoting scripture there, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you simply need to say is yes or no. Anything beyond that, and here's a heavy part, comes from the evil one. So hold on, Jesus. You know, people make vows, people make oaths, people make pledges, people make agreements. Are you saying, Jesus, don't do any of that at all? Well, not necessarily. What Jesus is saying is this, is that the yes or the no that you give has to have weight. It has to have meaning. It has to be significant, and it has to be something that you are grafting yourself onto. Otherwise, you're lying. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Otherwise, you, as an individual person, are untrustworthy. We can't rely on you. We don't know what you're going to do here. And Jesus is really getting at of the culture of that time and now too, as we sometimes say. We say, I swear to God. Or we say, well, I swear on my mother. Or I swear on this, I swear on that. I take this oath, I take that. Gen Z, can you tell the old people what y'all say? Put it on. There's someone said up there, put it on God. That's right, someone said up there. They're like, I don't want them to know what I say. There we go. So we have these things that we say. Now, if you're a fan of the King James translation of the Bible and you just love 1600s English language, then I'll just give you a little something right now. The verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whosoever is more than these cometh from evil. So yea, yea, nay, nay. So if you want to use that, parents, today, go for it. On the car ride, can we do this? Nay, nay. Can we do that? Yay, yay. You want to use that later? Go ahead. You know what? Let's just practice just understanding God's word. I'm going to say a few things. You give me a yay, yay, or nay, nay. Ice cream. Yay. Okay. That's pretty unanimous, I would say. Cats. Ooh. Dogs. Yay. That's right. Yankees. Mets. Okay, another mixed reaction. I figured. That's okay, though. That's okay. So whatever your yes is, that's what you have committed to. Whatever your no is, that's also what you've committed to. So what is Jesus looking for? He's looking for your heart. What are you giving your commitment to? Who are you giving your pledge, your vow, your oath, your agreement to? Now, here's the thing that we have to understand about ourselves. When we make promises, we make vows, we make pledges, we make all these different things, whatever we're going to put it on, whatever we're going to say on this, on that, whatever we're going to say, you have to understand something about the nature of promises. And this is the easiest way that we can understand it. And it's this statement. You can write it down. You can take a picture of it, whatever you need to do. And the statement is as follows. Promises do not make you capable. Promises make you accountable. Now think about it. Think about it. Your capability, meaning like your individual strength and effort, is not really what is the core of the promise. The core of a promise you make is that the person who you're pledging to or the commitment you're making, you are now accountable to what you have said. So if you say yes, and you said it to somebody, or if it is legally binding and you put a signature on it, you are now accountable to pay up. You're accountable to be there. Now, when we talk about making a promise, we have to understand something about this nature as well. Your word is your bond. What you say matters. Word is bond. And we've said that for years and years and years if you're of a certain age. We've said that for years and years. But think about it like this. You know that if somebody makes a promise, particular individuals, you'll say, oh, so-and-so said that? Oh, good. Money in the bank. We're good. Cool. That's good. But you know that if sometimes you hear that someone else has made a promise or commitment, it's, about that. Like, we'll see, you know. Now, I know some of you, I met your job. Maybe, someone's supposed to be doing something. You're like, I'm just going to do it myself. And it is what it is. I'm just going to type up the report because remember last time? I didn't understand. But think about it. That person has developed a reputation for inconsistency. That person has developed a reputation to be untrustworthy. Now ask yourself, which one are you? Are you the person who, when someone says that your name is committed to this, they're like, that's good. I'm good with that. Okay. So-and-so, it's going to be a breeze. They got this locked down. Or are you the person where everybody goes, oh no, please, Jesus, not again. You got to ask yourself that question. Now, you know that person or those people, some of you might be related to, you know who these people are, but think about it. Is this you? Now understand this. Now I talked earlier about marriage. The thing with marriage and the marriage vow that we have to understand, it's not making the person able, it's making the person accountable. And the people watching, you hope the best for that couple. You hope and pray that this works out, that the lifelong commitment is going to be there. Now let me tell you one thing though, and this is something important, especially if you're single, I want you to understand this. You are not committing to this person based on how you feel about them in that moment. Because listen, I was dressed up real good. She was immaculate. It doesn't always be like that. Now, married people, you know this. Don't go into details, married people. But you know this. You understand that. But in that moment, you're not promising, hey, we're going to get along all the time. You're not promising that. Or, hey, you know what? Our marriage is going to be just a lifelong fancy dinner date. You're not promising that. No, you're not. What you're promising is that whether we hit the Mega Millions or if I lose my job tomorrow, you will be there. If I'm sick and dying, you will be there by my side. If our children fall ill, you will be there. We will be bonded for life through every single situation. Why? Because you said so. Why? Because that's what you promised. You said, the whoever was officiating the wedding said, do you make these promises? And you said, I do. Now, life has this really bad habit of testing your commitments. The circumstances of life, the decisions that not only you make, but other people make that affect you directly, they will really test out your situation. But how beautiful would it be if that married couple stayed bonded for life because they said so? It said so in front of God, in front of family, in front of gathered friends, because they said so. It can't always be perfect. It won't always be fun. However, whether we're up here, whether we're down here, is you and me. That is something that the world needs to see. And could there be people who have committed themselves to Christ, bringing that into a marriage? Could that show the world God's heart and God's character? Think about it. What would that look like? What would that look like for future generations to look upon? And then there's other commitments we make too. How about something like friendship? Now, friendship, I know you've had plenty of friends in your life, but I'm sure as you've noticed, some of us have noticed this, as you get older, your friend list starts to shrink a little bit. That's not that they're bad people. It's just life moves on. People move. People do other things. The bonds are not as strong. I understand that. That's just kind of how life goes. But then think about it like this. You have maybe a small amount of friends that you know that they are got your back throughout everything, that you can rely on them for when you need them, that there is a sense of camaraderie, that you can talk to them about so many things. And if you don't have that friend, I really, really am going to pray that you do at some point, because this is something that is necessary in our growth, even as believers. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for the day of adversity. It's something that bonds us together in friendship. You know, one of my favorite things that we do here in Christ Fellowship is our baby dedications. How many of you have had your child dedicated here in Christ Fellowship? I have. I've had both of them, right? It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. But think about what we're doing in this moment. We, as a community, are saying, yes, I, individual, will be a part of that little baby's spiritual development. By my example in this community, I'm saying, yes, I support these parents to raise their children in a godly manner. And yes, you play a role in that. You play a role in our children's spiritual development just by being a part of this community. It's a vow. It's a pledge. It's something that Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes. Now, we can look at scripture too, because there's a vow that's in the Bible. And this vow, by our current standards, is kind of weird, but I understand that. This is a vow that was created thousands of years ago. And I want us to take a look at this vow, because there are two individuals in the Bible who were put into this vow, this pledge, by their parents. Now, they both had the same vow over their life. They both had the same commitment that they were required to be accountable to. However, one of them, his story's a little up and down, but the other one is a consistent oath keeper and vow keeper. Now, these two individuals here also had the same occupation. They were both what were called judges of Israel. And there are two of them that we're going to examine. One you've probably heard of, his name is Samson. And the other one is named Samuel. Now, let's talk about Samson real quick. Now, we've heard the story of Samson. Even if you're a non-believer, Samson is a very popular figure. He's a very popular figure. He's been used a lot of times to explain things. And Samson and Samuel both have something called the Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow goes something like this. You can find this in Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. The Nazarite vow has three requirements. One requirement is this. The person making the vow, be they man or woman, must abstain from all fermented drinks, that's alcohol, and all grape products. Yes, you heard right, grape products, even raisins. So if you're a raisin lover, it might be a big hurdle for you to overcome. Also, the person making the vow must let their hair grow until the vow is complete. So there is no haircut and no shape up, no nothing. That hair must grow and grow and grow and continue to grow all the way through. And then lastly, the other commitment is to not make any contact with a dead body, be they animal or human. And this one is strict. This one is strict to the point where a Nazarite can't even attend a funeral of a family member if they make this vow. This one is strict. But like I said, some people made it, some people didn't. Samson, his life was up and down. He broke his vow almost immediately if you read his story. And he was out there doing wild things. And eventually, as I'm sure many people know, because this has been repeated a lot, eventually the Lord had left him, and he was left with his head shaved and blinded. And eventually, God empowered him one last time to overcome his enemies. But his life was inconsistent. Whereas another judge who had the Nazarite vow, a man named Samuel. Now, you might have heard this story before, But Samuel was called by the Lord as a child. He was in the service of a priest, and he was called into service as a boy. And he led Israel through a time where there was warfare, and he led it through. However, the people eventually did him dirty. They did him wrong. And what happened to Samuel was eventually the people said, Samuel, we want a king. We don't want your leadership anymore. And what began as a simple coronation party for the new king eventually turned into a retirement party for our friend, our leader, our judge, Samuel. So if you all join me as we attend Samuel's retirement event.
Everyone, let's just give it up for Samuel. I mean, he's dedicated so much of his whole life, so let's just hear it for him.
Yes.
Let's do it.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow that nobody can deny.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Speech. Let's hear it. Speech. Come on, you know you're ready.
All right, I've listened to everything you guys have to say. So I want to tell you something. Listen carefully to every word. I've given you a king who's here among you today. He's going to be leading you. But now look at me. I'm old and gray. My sons are still here. I've led you faithfully from my youth until this very day. Look at me. Do you have any complaints? Do you have any complaints to bring before God and his anointed? Have I ever stolen so much as an ox or a donkey? Have I ever taken advantage of you or exploited you? Have I ever taken a bribe or played fast and loose with the law? Have I ever taken, bring your complaint and I'll make it right?
No, you've never done nothing like that. You never abused us. He's never lined his pockets.
No.
That settles it then. God is witness. And is anointed as witness, that you find nothing against me, no faults, no complaints.
All right, everyone. Let's hear it for Samuel.
Cheers. Samuel, cheers.
Thank you for all the years.
Thank you.
Thank you,
yes,
Samuel. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Woo. Thank you.
No complaints. It's interesting. Here's a man who had a vow placed on his life as a child and had a life of service to the point where at the end of his time of service, he goes before a crowd and says, does anybody have anything against me? Have I done right by you? Have I committed any crimes? Do I owe anybody money? Have I been corrupt? He puts himself out there. This is a man under a pledge, a vow, a promise, a commitment. Would we be so bold as to do that at the end of our lives, at the end of our careers? Hey, judge me, everyone. Judge me. Do I owe anything? Did I do anything wrong to anybody? And the people say, no, Samuel, you did right. You kept your promise for life. Your vow was never in question. And we will give you all your props right now. But in that moment too, what's interesting if you read more in the story is that despite that commitment, the people didn't want Samuel's leadership anymore. And Samuel himself was bothered by this, but the Lord had to comfort him and say, listen, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. You did what was right. You did what was needed. You did what needed to be done, and we thank you for it. Now, I got to ask you all, what vows and pledges and commitments have you made now to the point where years from now, Would you be able to go in front of people and say, listen, did I do right? Did I keep my promises? When I said I was going to be there, did I show up? Am I trustworthy? Am I reliable with the time that I had? See, this right here, I got to tell everybody, you know, this is a word that came to me a while ago. I think many people in Christ, our intentions might be one thing, but our actions might be another. And I have to admit, as I was really like just questioning God about this, I said, God, are there more self-professed Christians who are more Samson than Samuel? Are there more Christians that their commitment is kind of wavering? And what makes them distinct? What makes someone a godly man, a godly woman? Because the vows and what we say, that's one thing. But the accompanying action is what proves the vow and what proves the promise. Ask yourself, am I trustworthy? Could I make a commitment that's lifelong? Now, married people, you're already in that right now because that's what you had said. However, to keep it, year after year, season after season, ups, downs, rich, poor, sick, health, till death is something that we have to think about continuously. Why are we committed to this? Because that's what we said, and that's what we got into. So my prayer is that we knowingly make these vows. In James chapter 5, verse 12, James, later on in Scripture, also brings this up. Above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth, by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. And that's it. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. Why? Why would you condemn yourself? Because you said one thing, but you did another. Because you were put yourself up as a reliable person only to be exposed as untrustworthy. And that is something that hurts other people. Now, you don't have to raise your hand on this one. Have you been hurt by someone's inconsistency by their lies? Have you been hurt by someone who promised one thing only to let you down? And maybe that made you real hard-hearted to the point where you say things, I don't trust nobody. I don't trust anybody. And that's a shameful thing because we have to work together. There has to be some level of trust for other people. But I understand your hurt and your pain. And I understand what that feels like. Believe me, I understand what that feels like. However, there's a difference between that person understanding that and someone else just judging the whole world and everybody by that standard of their hurt. There's a huge difference between that. So think about this when it comes to promises. The power of a promise is the integrity of a person. The promise does not make you capable. It makes you accountable. The integrity that you have is what makes the promise, because the promise is just words. It's things that are said, but the person saying it makes the difference. So are you that person, a man, a woman of integrity, that when you say so, it's trustworthy, it's secure? When you give an oath, when you give a vow, when you make a promise, when you make a pledge, is that you? Are you that person? Or are you the other person where people are looking at you sideways because they're not sure? Your track record is it's a little rough. So think about this. Think about this for a moment as we move in to a very powerful, powerful practice. Before you say yes, ask yourself, what is my why? You notice the letter Y is the first letter in the word yes. What are your motives for saying yes to something? Is it to be seen? Is it to be validated? Is it to ease your insecurities? Or is your motive to serve, to love, to provide, to care? What's in your heart? What is God speaking deep within you that would make you say yes to him? What would make you say yes to a person, a friend that you have pledged some type of loyalty to? What would make you say yes? And what would you be committing to? See, I'll tell you something right now. This life in Christ, it's not easy. It is not easy. Living by your word, it is not easy. The temptation is always there to cut corners. The temptation is always there to say a little white lie here and there to get out of trouble. The temptation is always there. However, through God's power, you and I can be free to make our word our bond. You could be that person that people trust, that people know that you are good for it. And that's a hard thing to do. At different stages of life, it will challenge you. But I'll tell you, for me personally, I want to be Samuel. I want to stand before people at the end and say, did I do right? Did I live up to the promise that I made? Because I'll tell you something right now. I came to Christ at age 15, everybody. And I've noticed something. Coming to Christ as a teenager, that's a particular stage of life that you're in. And you got a whole lot of living to do. A whole lot. There was no marriage, no children, no things like that for me. And I have had to learn and relearn the commitment that I made as a 15-year-old. I have to relearn and recommit to that daily, multiple times a day, if I'm being honest with you, multiple times a day. And if those of you who have walked this road and are still walking it, you know that that is you too. You know that you have to think about, what was the commitment that I made? What was the thing that I said when I said, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And you said, yes. But here we are years later. Are you Samson? Are you on the road to being Samuel? It's a tale of two judges. It's a tale of two lives. Both those men had the commitment, the same commitment. However, one up and down, the other consistent through it. This is a commitment that we all have to make a decision on. And it doesn't matter the circumstance. I will tell you that. In the best days of life or the worst days of life, you made a commitment to Christ. In the best times, the worst times, wedding bells ringing, pick the worst day of your life. Whatever it is. When you walked in, you got one of these. Hopefully. And ushers, if there's someone that doesn't have one, please just indicate that you don't have one and we can make sure you have one of these. You got one of these right here. And I'll tell you something about this right here. I'll tell you something. This is what we call communion. This is something that we do in church to remind us of what God did. To remind us of God's power in our lives. This is something that when we do it, we are reminding ourselves of what's happening. This is something that if you have said yes as to be a man or woman of God, this is something that will put things in perspective. Because the claim of what we're about to do is so heavy to the point where if you do it in a manner that is not serious, that's an insult to God. That if you don't take this seriously, if it doesn't have weight and value to it, then it's useless. It's an empty ritual. But it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. See, I'll tell you the story. See, it was in the Passover feast, the scene that has gone down known in history as the Last Supper. Paintings, movies, television shows, stage plays, all depicting this moment. It's famous. It was Jesus gathered for their annual feast. But this feast was different because Jesus knew that the time had come for him to die and it would be coming soon. Jesus knew that in this moment right now, the commitment that he is showing us as a man is the road that we must walk as his followers. So what did he do? He had gathered his closest friends, even one that would later turn him in to be sentenced to death. And he said some very interesting statements, very powerful statements, things that have been recorded for years and years. But one thing that's interesting is he said to look forward because he was going to prepare a place for his followers, a place that they would represent here on earth. And they would walk into in the world to come in heaven. He said he would prepare that place. And I wonder if there's anyone here today who would want to make a commitment or remake their commitment, value their oath, and join me as we take this bread, this wafer right here. And as we look on it and remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, he said, this bread is going to represent my body, which is going to be broken. He's going to be tortured, and he's going to be nailed to a cross and die so he could take on our sin, our failures, our inconsistencies, our broken pledges and promises. He would take the penalty for that on him. So when we take this, we recognize, Lord, you did this for me. You did this for me so that I don't have to be weighed down by these things. There's a way out that I can take. If you want to take that way right now, and take this and eat it. We're showing, I agree, and I'm bonded with you. Just like how this bread is being consumed, God, I'm being consumed by you right now. And then he took this, he took the drink, he took the wine, and he said, this is going to be like my blood that's going to be poured out. But this blood is going to be like a river that washes everything away, that cleans everything up. The power of this is going to flow from here all throughout the world, all represented by my followers. And this is a new covenant, which is also an agreement, an oath, a promise. Marriage is a covenant. And Jesus says, this is the new covenant that is sealed in my blood. That's how it would have to take. That's how big this moment is. And if you drink this now, you are committing yourself to acknowledging that and living in that life. And if you drink this now, understand this. This is also one way we represent your sins being washed away. Though your sins might be as scarlet, God will wash them to be white as snow. So take it and drink it. And when you do, do this in remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You know, the scripture says that afterwards, they sang a hymn, a spiritual song, and went out to the Mount of Olives where Jesus would be arrested. I couldn't think of any other song by the one that we're about to play right now. And I got to tell you, this song, when I first heard it, I broke down like a baby. Broke down like a baby the first time I heard this song. And I know I'm not the only one who's heard it. But the lyrics touched me. And the lyrics are very simple. And I thought of myself in that moment, because I had been in Christ for many years at this point. Have I really committed myself to yes to God? Have I really committed myself to say yes? Because if I say yes now, that means there's commitments I have to make down the road further to prove it, to show it, to demonstrate it, to show everybody that I have said yes to God. So in this moment right now, I'm going to invite you to this holy space right here, or to stand up where you are. If you need to say yes to God, because God wants to take you places you can't even imagine yet. God wants to do work in you that you can't even visualize yet, but he wants you to make a choice. Or will you, will your heart, and will your soul say yes? Join me as we sing a hymn of yes.
Will your spirit still say yes? Don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid of
Brothers, sisters, friends, there are people who need to say yes to God. There are people among us here who need to say yes to commit ourselves to a righteous life, a life that's not full of hurt and anger and lust and bitterness. Because there are people among us and outside of us. There are sick people who need healing. There are hungry people who need feeding. There are prisoners who need visits. There are naked who need clothing. This is the call of Christ when she says, "There is more that I require of you." It's an inner commitment. It's a promise that's made. It's a vow to be taken of service and love. And my prayer is that if we want to love God, make disciples, and change the world, it just starts with one word. Yes. 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 Say yes to what God wants to do in your life. Say yes to God, help me to forgive. Say yes, God, help me to love. God, help me to lead. Say yes, God, I will do your will. I will love. I will serve. I will give my word and it will be my bond. Because there is more that you require of me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you welcome our yes. We thank you that when we can say yes to you, you don't leave us as orphans just stranded, but that you guide us and you lead us, Lord God, hand to hand, Lord God, because of your loving kindness. God, you see the people here before you today, Lord God. I pray that this is not just a wedding snapshot moment with you, Lord God, but that this is a milestone moment that we can look back and say, that's where it started. And here I am today still saying yes, Lord. God, may you stir something in our hearts, Lord God, that makes us want to love you more, Lord God, that makes us want to serve other people more, so that it'll be so radiant that when we walk into our places of employment tomorrow, Lord God, that there'll be something different about these people here, Lord God, that there'll be an attraction to from all the people that they work with, Lord God, and they want to know what it was, and they would just say that I said yes to God, Lord God. May you raise us up, Lord God. Empower us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we may prove that you are good and you have done amazing, wonderful, powerful, miraculous things in our lives. And we seal this with the word that means it is finished. It is final. We agree. We say yes. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Say yes.
Christ Fellowship of Elizabeth is a Christian community whose mission is to love God, make disciples, and change the world. You can learn all about us by visiting cfofelizabeth.com. We meet each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at the Liberty Center in Elizabeth, as well as at various times throughout the week. If you'd like to see a video recording of the full worship service this teaching came from, you can watch on demand on our YouTube channel, and you can join us live online every week by visiting cfofelizabeth.live. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Make sure you subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher so you never miss an episode. See you next time.